Support for this podcast and the following message come from KUST Campus Radio. A student-operated, non-commercial radio station, KUST provides students and faculty of St. Thomas a platform dedicated to creative storytelling, diverse viewpoints, and exploring a vast array of audio content. Tune in at any time to KUST at mixlr.com/KUST-radio.
Welcome to Keep the Ball Rolling, presented by Tommy Media. On today's show, we introduce the newest member of the KTBR team, discuss how Tommy Fall Sports are doing through midseason, and sit down with Tommy linebacker Mark Dowdle, and preview this weekend's Tommy Johnny football game.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us here on KTBR, Keep the Ball Rolling, the only podcast where you can listen to Tommy Media employees talk about Tommy Sports. We're the only Tommy Media podcast. We're working to get that fixed, but for right now, this is all you got. I'm Noah Brown, here with my co-host Brady Haldmeyer. Brady, how you doing this week?
Doing pretty well. It's Tommy Johnny. How can you not be excited for this week?
It's going to be super excited, but we also have another reason to be excited. We have a new member of the Keep the Ball Rolling team. Our assignment editor from Tommy Media, Althea Larson. She'll be our new producer. Hey, Althea, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. So, Althea, what is your sports background?
Well, let's see. I did softball and volleyball for a little bit. Continued volleyball on into high school. But, you know, it just got a little too much once I left for college. So, we're just hanging out here at Tommy Media talking about sports instead.
Hey, we're glad to have you here.
Thanks. Absolutely. Glad to be here.
We're very excited to have a producer finally.
Yeah,
right, another producer.
Yeah,
we hope your tenure lasts a little longer than TJ's.
Yeah, the 1 week without TJ was a bit rough. But yeah, so moving forward, Tommy Sports, as per usual, Tommy Sports are doing fantastic through the midseason point of the fall semester. Women's soccer, they're riding an 11-game win streak led by senior Mallory DeBoom, All American. Most likely, we'll get that honor again. Ever since losing their first match at home, and I think that was like back in August, they have not lost a single one. They've won every single one up to that point. They are rolling.
Yeah, I remember looking at it. They swept the month of September. They're like 9-0 or whatever. And Mallory DeBoom was having all kinds. She's had like three or four goals, a bunch of assists. She is rolling. The squad is rolling.
Yeah, no, they're doing fantastic. Men's soccer, not doing quite as well, but I think they're on a 3-game win streak right now, 2 or 3 games. They're starting to pick it up. I think that was their longest this most recent win streak was their longest of the season. They're finally starting to click. Golf is, they just won a tournament over the weekend. They're doing really well. And, of course, our main topic for today, football. They're rolling in the MIAC 5-0. Crushing defeat against Augsburg, or crushing win against Augsburg, 73-14. And I think that was the best this Tommy offense has looked all season long.
They looked incredible. The offensive line, the only part of this offense that really you look at is, okay, we need this to be good this year. The offensive line is playing tremendous. They've taken huge steps from last year, and they're playing better each game. And I think the biggest reason is because all five of them have been healthy all season. They've been able to kind of build that camaraderie, and you can see them growing in confidence every week, and they're really giving Jock some time, and he's taking that and making some great throws. His downfield accuracy is incredible.
Yeah, Caruso was talking about it after the game. I interviewed him for our post-game story that we do on Tommy Media, and he was saying that that is the key to this offensive surge, is the offensive line. And I think that will be the difference come, you know, playoff time. I mean, you look last season against Mary Hardin-Baylor, the offense couldn't get anything going against that team. The defense held the best offense, as I've said before, to negative rushing yards or minimal rushing yards, and the passing attack to, I think, right around 100 or so. So the defense was doing its job. The offense just could not get anything started. But now you look, this offensive line is playing really well. Josh Parks is looking fantastic. The third game in a row with at least 2 touchdowns. Ran for almost 200 yards in the first half alone. Had a massive 60-yard touchdown. Jock is looking fantastic. Highest completion percentage of his career, you said, what, hovering right around 74%?
Yep, and he was at 56 last year. I mean, his comfort level is obvious when you can see this kind of percentage completion that he's at right now.
Right. The offense is just rolling, and you add that into a defense that's on the best start of out of Caruso's tenure. I mean, they've allowed 4 touchdowns through 5 weeks, 2 of which came against Augsburg. One was just a blown coverage. So, I mean, you wish you wouldn't that wouldn't happen. Yeah. But I mean, still, four touchdowns through five games. That's an average of what, under 6 points a game?
Yeah, and
like
one
that.
Of those touchdowns Augsburg had was like a back shoulder, undefendable, perfect throw. I mean, maybe for the cornerback there on that back shoulder, I think it was to Nick Heine in the end zone. I mean, that's just a great play.
And Nick Heine is one of the best, if not the best, receiver in the MIAC. Mm-hmm. And this is his second year starting.
Yep, for Augsburg.
Exactly. And so, not to take anything away from him, because that was a fantastic play, both plays, because he caught both those touchdowns.
Yeah, the long one too, yeah.
But you don't have that blown coverage, they may not get that touchdown, and once again, you only allow one touchdown.
Yeah.
But still, all facets of this team are rolling. I've made it a point to ask several... or any football guests we have on, so you know, whether that be Mark Dowdle, who we're going to have on in just a little bit, Glenn Caruso, football coach Matt Mitchell, you know, do they feel like this team is the team that can get over the hump, that can win a national championship? Because I believe, from what I've seen in the 5 weeks watching them, I think this team is that team.
Yeah, I mean, there appears to be, I mean, it all revolves around the offensive line for me, and they look so comfortable. Jacques looks so comfortable. You didn't see that comfort level last year. I think that is going to be, I mean, that's for me as well. That's the biggest reason why I think this can be the team that really makes that next jump and wins a national championship.
Right.
And it'll start next week with St. John's.
Yeah. And a big part of that team on the defensive side of the ball is linebacker Mark Dowdle. He's a senior linebacker, was defensive back for a while.
Yep.
But we had him into the studio, so here's that interview.
We now welcome on the senior linebacker, Mark Dowdle. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You've been in this program for 4 years now. You've seen some of the best defenses St. Thomas has ever produced. Do you think this year's defense is the best that you've been on so far?
I think that's a tough question to go about. I mean, every year, you know, when we kind of look at the season, it's every game is a week to get better, and we're always trying to build off the last week. So I guess to answer that, it's we're just trying to build off what we had last year and kind of create our own story. We never want to, say, compare ourselves to last year, but we always want to be like, all right, well, this is how we were last year. How can we grow, and you know, how can we become a more well-rounded unit? Mm-hmm.
So even if it is hard to compare like this year's unit to last year's unit in terms of just the guys playing it, statistically speaking, this is the best start to a season that a Caruso-led team has ever had defensively. You've only allowed four touchdowns in 5 weeks. So you guys are playing phenomenally well, and you lost some pretty good seniors last year from graduation.
Mm-hmm.
How are you maintaining such a high level of play even after, you know, losing so many guys like that?
I think it's just the accountability aspect. And, you know, we really came together this year, and, you know, we wanted to start to separate the legacy, you know, not only building upon it, but, you know, the only reason we are here as a defense is because the guys that came before us. And, you know, having Coach K as the D coordinator, he really brings us all together. And I think, you know, the seniors got together before the season. We're like, all right, how can we improve, you know, going into this year? And a big part of that was bringing in the juniors and the sophomores, the guys that are younger and maybe are kind of not getting as much time on the field, but we know they're just as important. And it's kind of making sure that all the links in the chain are sturdy and strong together. So I think it's just making the unit as a whole, not just the guys on the field and not just the coaches, like the guys that are doing the work day in and day out, and making sure they know that their role is just as important as, you know, the guys on the field that may get the credit. But at the end of the day, it's everyone. Mm-hmm. So
you moved around through the defense quite a bit, kind of changing positions. I think your sophomore year, you started that linebacker, then you went to play corner when Chris Pearson got hurt. You stayed there for your sophomore year, your junior year. Now you're back inside a linebacker. How hard has that been?
You know, it's our defense is very flexible. You know, we have a lot of guys moving around. Remember, Dylan Andrew was backup quarterback. So, you know, when we're talking about our defense as a whole, each guy has a specific role. And so when I know that I don't have to worry about, you know, what the middle linebacker's doing or what the corners are doing, I can just focus on my position and what my role is. It's a lot easier to kind of go through my mental checklist, you know, just the communication. You know, Luke Swenson and I are always standing next to each other on the field. So it's building that relationship where, you know, it's, you know, pretending like we're blitzing when we're not, and we're moving back and forth. The transition really isn't as difficult as you would think because I have guys like Lou Swenson or Adam Brandt who's on the side of the ball. And I did play linebacker, as you said, the first couple of years, so it wasn't like I was getting thrown into something. I had something on my back burner. I was like, okay, I've been here before. It's just going through and making sure that my checklist, from top to bottom is taken care of.
And do you think playing linebacker now has, or actually playing corner your first couple of years, how much has that helped you?
It's helped tremendously, just in the fact of like coverage standpoint.
Right, yeah.
Because, when I was playing corner, a lot of the times I didn't worry about the blitzing that was going on. So all the twists and turns, I didn't really conceptualize. Yeah. So knowing what's behind me, and a lot of times when we're covering in, outside backer, our eyes are on the quarterback.
Yep.
And so being able to know where the corners are and where the safeties are, I know, have a feeling of where the holes might be, and I can better fit that up. But the transition has been pretty fluid just because of the guys that have helped me. And so it's just been not that tough of a process because of those guys.
Yeah, we had Matt Mitchell on 2 weeks ago, and he was telling us about how he transitioned back and forth between defensive end and strong side backer. And he said, he prefers playing at the linebacker position where he can really just kind of flow with the play, but then also crash downhill, see the ball carrier. He was really good in run support, see the ball carrier, stop the ball carrier. So you started, your linebacker and now defensive back to linebacker. Do you prefer being in pass protection still, or do you still enjoy, the blitzes and running after ball carriers?
I think it's a combination of the both because I love being in coverage, but I think what I brought to the corner position was a physicality. And a lot of the times these receivers like to have truces in like the run game where they're like, all right, I'm just going to get in front of you and then you're going to kind of hold up. But a lot of times it's, I'm going to run through you to get to the ball. And I'd be late, or the corners would be late celebrating with the guys up front after a sack, and they'd be done celebrating by the time we got up there. And so it'd be like, all right, I want to have some fun with these guys up there. So I think the combination of being in coverage and then also getting to fit up the run game, it just like, I don't know, it feels more wholesome and not, it's a definitely a versatile position that not a lot of guys get to do. So I'm just thankful to be able to have both opportunities.
Right. Mark, you're one of the most competitive people I've ever, had the chance to play against. We played corner together when I was a freshman, you were a sophomore. What drives you? What drives the competitive fire in your belly? That's just, you're diving for loose balls in intramural basketball games. You're getting, I remember we played your guys' team. We had such a, such a fun competitive game. You're bleeding after the game. We're all dog tired. What drives you?
I think that any time that you step on the field or the court, there is somebody else out there who didn't get that opportunity, or, you look at our scout team guys and they would kill to get on that field. They would kill to be playing in that game. And that is kind of, I have to feed off that and bring that energy on the field because those guys don't get to do that. And so it's really important for these guys to see that, a lot of times, as you might know, it's tough to play against me, but when you're playing with me, you see a whole different side of that. And, Greg Ebacher, who does chains on the opposite sideline, he's like, man, you should hear the things they're saying about you over there. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? The things they're saying about me over here is like, I'm glad he's on our side of the ball. And it's just, it's a fight and a drive to be there for my teammates. And if I'm not doing that, then I feel like I'm being selfish, or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, because that's how much I love these guys. And I will fight and I will claw and I will do whatever it takes for us to be in a spot that we need to be in. If that's my role, that's how I'm going to carry it out.
Is it hard to keep up that level of energy all throughout a game? Like, last week against Augsburg, you won 73-14. Most of the starters were out by halftime. Even on the sidelines, you're sitting there, it's a blowout game, not a lot going on. Is it hard to keep that energy up?
It can be. There's definitely some distractions. You're like, well, I'm done for the game, I can relax. But those guys that have been waiting for that opportunity, weren't relaxing when we were out there. They were giving those pass ball calls. You know, they were coming off and giving us any information that they could see that we weren't able to pick up on. So it's, they deserve that. And if we're not going to be giving that to them, then we're not being the best leaders that we can be. And so just making sure that they know that we care that they're out there, even though the score might be 70-14 or 70-0, like, that's their opportunity to prove what they've been doing all week. And so it's fun for us to sit there and, you know, Luke Lennis pick last week. Yep. Like, that was a cool play.
Yep.
Like, and that's exciting for us to see because we can see that, you know, this is where that the program's going. Like, we can see that in those games and those little moments where, like, this is going to be an exciting team when we leave. Like, mm-hmm. so it's witnessing that. And also on the other side of things, like, I'm not focused on the offense, on our offense, what we're doing during the game, because I'm focused on the defense.
Yep.
So being able to relax and be like, wow, our offense is really good. Like,
yeah.
they're doing some good things. Like, that's fun to watch. So,
yeah, and you kind of – your defense is very intimidating defense, I would say, to opposing teams. How much do you guys rely on that? And you're talking about, you know, on the other sideline, they're saying terrible things about you. How do you kind of rely on the intimidation factor to help you guys?
I think just the violence we play with – you know, we want to be vicious, we want to be violent, we want to be fast, mm-hmm. and what really drives that is when we can flip on the film and be like, whoa, like, mm-hmm. we're playing with some viciousness.
Yep.
And if we're able to see that, then what do you think other teams are thinking when they flip on the film? They're like, whoa, we got to go up against St. Thomas this week. So it's that drive and it's that type of mentality. Like, everything we put on film is there forever. You mm-hmm. can't change it. You sign your name on every play. We talk about it in practice. You sign every play with your signature, with your hustle, with your energy, and with your physicality. And do not give another team an opportunity to be like, oh, that's something we can pick apart.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of – I would say you and Matt Mitchell, at least from my perspective, are kind of like the bad boys of the team. You know, you guys are like the dogs. When you look at the defense and you say, like, all right, we need to stop, who are we looking at? We're looking at Matt Mitchell and Mark Dowdle. Would you agree?
I mean, I think we all play a different role, and definitely Matt and I like to take that on, but there's definitely times when he sees me kind of mm-hmm. raising my energy almost to a point where it's too far, and he'll look at me and just give me a nod, and I'll be like, all right, let's maybe the next play. Like, we talk about, be a little choir boy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So it's definitely everyone has their role, and there's some guys that are quieter than others, but that's where we come in, and we have to raise that for them.
Mm.
Yeah, you've got some, kind of building on the bad boy thing, you've got some pretty interesting eye black stuff that you do. Where do you get that from?
I think it's just like whenever I wake up, it's I don't think about it throughout the week. Matt, Adam, Blake, and I will go out and we'll run some routes and just kind of clear in my head. And whenever I walk back into the locker room and I see, I just put on. I know the one from last week.
The three down the face. Three stripes down the left side of your face.
There's not much thought into it until like 15 minutes before I go. I'm like, all right, this is going to look cool. Mm-hmm. This is going to look intimidating.
Okay, but so you got one picked out for this week?
I do, just because.
Special one for Tommy Johnny. Yeah. Yep. So. That's awesome. And you play on the club lacrosse team as well, and you guys went down to nationals or regionals something last year, and they were asking you about your eye black, and you said, what did you say?
Well, he's like, what's your inspiration? I'm like, I just wake up in the morning. You know, I wake up with a different mindset, whatever I'm feeling going out that game, and then I gave a Coach K shout out. I'm like, just like, let's get it on, baby. So
Coach K yells that after the anthem, I think,
yeah,
for every
after
game.
The what is it, the
color guard
they
yep.
step off the field
yep.
and you see Coach Gay go, let's get it on.
Yeah, it's like dead side, yeah,
we're all jacked up yep. when we're seeing that. We're just waiting for that.
Yeah. Have you found it difficult playing on the lacrosse team as well as trying to, you know, keep up with football? Is that any challenge there?
Yeah, just when I'm stepping into a leadership role, going into my junior and senior year more as an upperclassman, it's tough because they don't see me at all in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to have my name out there just so the younger guys are a little more aware of, you know, what type of person is walking into in the spring.
Yeah.
Because I do come with this kind of in your face, like, let's get ready to work.
Yep.
And so it's tough not being around the guys, knowing that they're out there working and doing their job, but they also understand, you know, I have this season to take care of, and then when I get to the J term in the spring, that I'll flip that switch and I'll be right there with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is, year four, you're a senior, midway through your final season for Tommy football. Has that hit you yet? Does that weigh on you at all?
It did the other day when someone asked me when senior day was, and I'm like, that's the weekend after St. John's. That's Olaf.
Yeah.
Because then we go to Gustavus and then Bethel.
Yeah.
And that did weigh on me a little bit. I was having a conversation with my uncle the other day. I was like, I don't feel like a senior yet. Like, even in the football program, it's like things are happening really quick. And we've been here since August 11th. And school's been in school. We've been in school for a month. But, like, it feels like forever. And, we still have forever to go. But it's starting to hit me right now. And I'm just trying to, reset my mind and be like, all right, well, we got to focus on one day and one practice at a time. And hopefully, whatever we get out of this year, we can appreciate the moment that we're in right now.
And your brother Charlie Dowdle played here too. He's a phenomenal player here. How much of an impact has he had on your football career?
He's had a decent impact. Charlie is actually my cousin.
Oh, he's your cousin, not your brother. Okay.
Yeah, so,
he's your brother.
He's definitely one of the bigger reasons I came up here. I didn't really know about St. Thomas until he came here and was having quite a career here. But, we talk occasionally, not too much. He's just an exciting guy to have as an influence. He was definitely one of the guys in their grade in their class, definitely kind of changed the direction of the culture that we have now. They really brought in the freshmen and really brought in the whole team instead of kind of having, it separated by grade and by position and, how much time you have on the field. So I think the biggest thing that he taught me was just making sure that we're all together and, it doesn't matter what grade you're in. We all have an important role on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a couple NFL tryouts, right, with Chicago and then with Jacksonville. Have you thought about going pro at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not cut out for that. I think I'm just going to say goodbye to football when it's, it's time. And, the thing about that is you never know when that is. Mm-hmm. So looking ahead, I'm just kind of focused on today's practice. Mm-hmm.
In the last couple of seasons, you've made it to quarterfinals and have been eliminated. Both heartbreaking games.
Right.
Two seasons ago was Oshkosh, the 38-35 loss, and then last year was Mary Hardin Baylor. And then 2015, that was national runner-up.
Right.
You were there for that, correct?
Right, yep.
Do you feel like this team has the ability to push further than those teams? Do you think this team will finally bridge the – crest the hump, make it over?
That's something that we've definitely talked about. Like I said, we're focusing on today's practice for St. John's, but every year I've come into this program, we've all had the mindset like, we have the team, we have the guys, we have the coaching, we have everything we need to get this thing done all the way through and through. And it's just kind of focusing on November will come when November comes, and playoffs will come when playoffs will come. But if we're not taking care of what we need to do now, and, we look at those games, even we look at, the Augsburg game, and, the games where the score is such a big margin, there's so many little things that we could get better on. And it's like these things, if they continue to show up, they're going to come back and bite us in the butt. And that's why it's like focusing on one game, one practice at a time, it's those little things that are going to add up to the end. And so, yeah, you could say we're crushing teams, but we got to get better on everything. And it starts with, practice today, like I said. So, I do believe we could do what we need to do, but we got to take care of what we got to take care of today for that to happen.
And the next game you guys have is St. John's, the number 9 ranked team in the country, the biggest game of the regular season, and the next step on the way to that national championship. In your 4 years here, you guys have, or in your 3 years here so far, you've beat them all 4 times you played them.
Right.
What would it mean to go undefeated against St. John's in your career here?
It'd definitely be something to hang the hat on. We talk about beating our rivals a lot, and It's definitely fun to beat St. John's, and it's definitely fun to beat St. John's on their own field.
Yep.
So, it definitely will be something that, you know, you can have, you know, in your back pocket the rest of your life. But I'm just excited to get out there and get to work, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a work week.
You probably haven't seen too much film. It's Tuesday, and you didn't have practice yesterday. You'll probably hit the film later this afternoon. But what's kind of the basic scout report on St. John's? What do they do well offensively?
They're a well-rounded unit. They got a good receiving core. They got a good quarterback. They're a good team. But a lot of times we're just ready to focus on ourselves. And, you know, I'm not going to say they're the best team. I'm not going to say the worst team. But, like, it's a lot about how we are going to carry out our schemes. And we trust Coach K to give us and putting us in the right spot. They're a good football team. But I think we have – good things on our end that are just going to be tough for them to stop.
Mm-hmm. So we'll wrap up here in just a second, but do you have any special messages to the St. Thomas students? There's going to be a ton of them heading up to Collegeville this weekend. What's your message to the students going to the game?
Be safe. That's probably number one.
Yep.
Definitely bring your voices and be ready to go, but be safe and bring the numbers, because just because it's at St. John's doesn't mean we can't make it a home atmosphere.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a rowdy crowd, and I look forward to it. And that was linebacker Mark Dowdle. We lost just the last bit of the interview there. The producer question, Althea asked him if Dez Bryant caught that pass in 2014 against the Packers, and he said yes.
It was a resounding yes, which, as a Cowboys fan, warms my heart. That's what, 3-4 one against? Because we've had Fritz Waldvogel,
yep.
Coach Caruso. We didn't air that one, but on the first time we had him on, he said yes.
Yep.
And then now Mark Dowdle. Yep. And then it was just Matt Mitchell who said
3-4
no.
And one Matt Mitchell says no.
Yeah. He just doesn't appreciate good catches, I don't think. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, coming from a defender, a linebacker, I mean, whatever.
Yep. Well, that's our show for the week. We'll be up in Collegeville this weekend, so stay tuned to timemedia.com for all the coverage, and it should be a great game.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. For Brady Haldmeyer and Althea Larson, I'm Noah Brown, and we'll see you next week.